RNZ Pacific News, Tālo Whālawa, I'm Marama Tipole. A new era has dawned on Samoa with the swearing in of three women members of parliament, taking the number of women in the Legislative Assembly to seven. The new members of parliament are Ali'i Malemano Alofa Tu'uau, Fa'angasi Ali'i Sāpua Whiangai of the Human Rights Protection Party, and Fa'atuatua Iliatua Samoa Watasi member To'omata Nora Leota, increasing the number of seats in the House to 54. The swearing-in is in line with a court ruling issued by Chief Justice His Honour Sir Tiu Simativa Perese, Senior Justice Vui Clarence Nelson and Justice Lisatele Rapi Va'ai. Prime Minister Fiame Naomi Mataafa congratulated the new female MPs, adding that the law has fulfilled in terms of the 10% constitutional mandates. Fiame says it has not been an easy journey so far, implementing the law at hand, but in the end, the purpose of the law is to allow more women representatives in Parliament. She then welcomed the women MPs. The state funeral of the late Papua New Guinea Deputy Prime Minister Sam Basil will be held at the Sir John Guy's Indoor Complex in Port Moresby today. Hundreds, including Prime Minister James Marape, Speaker Joe Pomat, governors, state ministers and MPs gathered at Jackson International Airport as the body of Mr. Basil and his close protection officer, First Constable Neil Maino, arrived. Mr. Basil's body will lay in state at the Parliament Grand Hall this morning for fellow MPs to pay their respects, and the funeral will be held from 2 p.m. local time at the Sir John Guy's Indoor Complex, led by Head of the Lutheran Church, Bishop Jack Urame. The public is welcome to pay their respects today at the Sir John Guy's Stadium from 5 p.m. to midnight. The casket is expected to depart Port Moresby for lie on Wednesday morning. Samoa's government has lifted its overnight curfew as COVID-19 state of emergency restrictions begin to loosen. While alert level 2 is extended for another 2 weeks until midnight May 31st, high schools will reopen from Wednesday and primary schools go back to normal classes on May 30th, with preschools reopening from July 4th. Prime Minister Fiame Naomi Mataafa says weekly flights to and from New Zealand and Australia starting from June 22nd with a fortnightly flight from Fiji. All Samoa citizens and people with exempt status are able to book flights with airlines and travel agents for the first time since the pandemic closed Samoa's border. And all international visitors can return from August 1st. Fijian police have confirmed they'll investigate an alleged case of police brutality after a three-minute video showing a policeman violently assaulting a bus driver surfaced on social media on Monday. This is the second time in 3 weeks where police have been seen using excessive, unjustified force on people. The latest incident, which occurred on Vanua level, shows a police officer in uniform attempting to force the bus driver off a seat by aggressively holding his neck and slamming it onto the seat several times. The driver, who was handcuffed, can be heard saying, "I can't breathe." Passengers on board can be heard telling the police officer that he's wrong, and attempts from a Member of Parliament, Leonora Verevere Tambua, who was at the scene to calm the officer, were unsuccessful. Fiji Bus Operators Association has condemned the assault, and Acting President Zane Dean is calling on the leadership of the Fiji Police Force to take action against the policeman and examine the behaviour of its officers. A former president of Kiribati is urging the global community to be more moral and address the climate crisis rather than pushing it aside. Speaking at an emergency Pacific Climate Security Summit in Canberra on Monday, Anote Tong re-emphasised the call by the Pacific Elders Voice Group that the greatest security challenge facing Pacific Island countries is not the superpower rivalry but climate change. Mr. Tong, who served as the president of Kiribati from 2003 to 2016, joined the summit virtually from Tarawa and singled out the Australian government for its poor track record to cut emissions to help its Pacific neighbours on the front lines of climate change challenge.
One of my biggest disappointments has been the politicisation of climate change. Whenever there is a different government, a different administration coming in Australia, in New Zealand, in the United States, policies on climate change. We cannot continue doing.
The Pacific Climate Security Summit was organised by the Smart Energy Council to focus on the urgent need for Australia to tackle climate change and work with Pacific nations to address its impact on the region. Ahead of the New Zealand government announcing its 2022 budget this Thursday, calls to address the rising cost of living, which is hitting Pacific communities hard. Associate Professor at AUT's Centre for Pacific Health and Development Research, Alshadan Tautolo, says many Pacific people are struggling to cope with the basics.
We all know just in our daily lives the rising costs of things, groceries and supermarket prices and petrol in Auckland anyway is just ridiculous, you know, over $3. So, you know, how is all that? That's having a huge impact on our communities.
A leading Pasifika health professional wants the New Zealand government to address the disparity in Pacific health outcomes. South Auckland consultant paediatrician Dr. Tuila Percival says there needs to be a long-term plan to tackle some serious disease and illness.
The things that are important to Pacific are long-term conditions like diabetes, heart disease, intermediate determinants of those conditions like obesity and inactivity. And then we have children's health with lots of infectious diseases still, lots of respiratory disease. I think mental health, particularly with the current pandemic, has increasingly become a big issue for Pacific as well.
She says there needs to be better pathways to encourage more Pasifika to become doctors, medical managers and pharmacists. US officials are learning more about the meticulously planned shooting attack in Buffalo, which killed 10 people at a supermarket. Authorities say they are also investigating social media posts with possible threats that have been circulating. An 18-year-old white male suspect remains in custody and on suicide watch. CNN's Brian Todd has more.
This suspect, Peyton Jenrin, visited Buffalo in early March. That is very significant, and it speaks to the planning that he allegedly did for this attack. We do know that they believe that he planned on leaving that store after his attack and going to other stores possibly down the street. So, of course, you put those two items together, that he visited Buffalo in early March. Did he actually visit that store and scope it out in some detail? It looks like, given the visit in early March and the plan to go down the street, that he might have at least scoped out that store and a couple of others.
The Amalgamated Workers Union is calling for reforms to New Zealand's RSE workers scheme. The union leads demands for fairer pay and better living conditions for migrant workers from the Pacific Islands who have limited workers' rights in New Zealand. Regional organiser Michelle Johnson says RSE workers have no negotiating power with their employers and most get paid on piece rates that have not increased over the last decade.
They need to be able to have bargaining power with their employer because they're bonded to their employer. If they have a disagreement or they feel that they're not getting a fair choice or even being abused, they can't leave. They can't leave their accommodation. They can't, like you and I, can go and get another job, or if we don't like the place we're living, we can go somewhere else. These guys cannot do that.
Another meeting has been held in French Polynesia to prepare the surfing event of the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics, which will be held in Tahiti. The gathering in Papeete was co-chaired by the President, Edouard Fritsch, and the French High Commissioner, Dominique Sorain, with the head of the Olympics Organising Committee taking part via video link. A statement says the meeting dealt with legal matters and security aspects. It also says the talks raised French government infrastructure support for the upgrade of the site's marina, improved power supply and wastewater treatment, workers continuing on accommodation and transport facilities. The top of the table Northern Mystics have been beaten by the bottom place Magic 48-47 in their ANZ Netball Premiership game in Auckland. The Mystics were without star goal shoot Grace Nwege, who has an ankle injury. It's just the Magic's second win of the season, and both have been against the Mystics. Magic captain Amelia Ann Ekenasiel concedes the match was a scrappy affair.
I don't even know if 1 minute of that felt really enjoyable, and sometimes that's just what it takes and you have to just win ugly, and that was pretty ugly.
The result doesn't change the competition ladder, with the Mystics still at the top, 8 points clear of the second place Pulse, who have had a game in hand, while the Magic remain last. The Black Caps have arrived in England for their three-test series, with their first tour match against Sussex and Brighton starting on Friday. The first test is at Lord's on June 2nd. Meanwhile, England have lost a third fast bowler to injury ahead of that series, with Saqib Mahmood out for the season with a serious stress fracture in his back. And golfing great Jack Nicklaus has revealed he turned down a $150 million offer to be the face of the Saudi-backed LIV Invitational Series that is hoping to challenge the PGA Tour. Australian Greg Norman now fronts the series. And that's RNZ Pacific News and Sports. You can read and listen to more online at rnzi.com.